Amen. Thank you,
Yeah.
Father. Lord, hallelujah. We just praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in all of us. Lord, we just thank you and we glorify you for the revelations that you're giving us about who we are in Christ, that we are that new creation that you have made. And as such, Lord, we walk like you, talk like you, act like you. And Lord, we just praise you, glorify you for what you're doing in us. We thank you, Lord, for this time coming ahead that you're getting us ready for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for getting the distractions out of our life. There ain't nothing matters now but you and what you have to say to us. And Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you for all the work you're going to do tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the revelations that are going to come forth tonight. And Father, we just thank you for the open heaven that we have. And Lord, I ask that the provisions, and I thank you for the provisions for the orphanage over across the seas. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that by faith we're believing that you're going to provide everything that's needed for those wonderful children. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that the faction has come down, that we're not under that curse. We don't have to put up with it. I bind the forces of evil that want to try to distract and take us away from what you've got called for us in Jesus' name. I cast down every curse spoken against this outreach in Jesus' name as null and void. And Father, I thank you for bringing those elect out of the faction before the first of the year. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, because I know it's going to happen. And if that happens, Lord, the man-child anointing will have taken place and refuges will be in place. And Father, we just praise you, glorify you, that the work will have started in Jesus' name. Lord, it looks like that things are mounting up on the outside, but we're not worried. We have our eyes on you. We have our rest in you. We don't have to worry about what's going on around us because we know that we are in your hands. And we thank you, Lord, that when we pray, we believe that what we pray is coming to pass. We don't need to pray for it again and again, but Lord, because all we need to do then is just praise you and thank you that it's being done. And I praise you and I glorify you for all you're doing in this fine bunch of sisters and brothers here on the outreach and those that are listening in. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah, for answering all of our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I want to read you something that I read while ago. I thought it was real cool. It is real cool. Just remember who we are. Our attitude toward the word determines the place that God holds in our daily life. The word should always be the Father speaking to us. It should never be like the message from an ordinary book. It should be as real to you as though the Master stood in the room and spoke to you personally. Glory to God. That's what we ought to be looking at the word as. It's not just a book. It is a living, breathing word from the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Evan. What's up, buddy? I'll see you in there. Hey, son. You look like you're wide awake. Yeah, go ahead, Lana.
Hey, everybody. I have a prayer request. I was talking to Maria, Elena's and Theo's sister, and she had baby Victoria about a month ago, and I called her up to find out how things were going, and they're going great. In some ways, it's a big change from when she first had Nika. I don't know if y'all remember, she was a preemie about a year ago, or a year and a half ago. And Maria really had her hands full with this little one, even though she, praise the Lord, everything went well. She recovered quickly. And Nika's just a bubbling, beautiful little girl now. But Victoria has a slight issue. And I was telling Maria today that we were going to be on the outreach and that I would ask for prayer. So I am believing that she is believing and that the Lord is going to do this miracle for her. Little Victoria, Maria will put her down to sleep and little Victoria will get about 3 hours of sleep before she starts waking up every about 45 minutes throughout the rest of the night because she's gassy and colicky and they can't seem to figure out how to get that to go away. And so she says she's just walking in a daze for the last few weeks because of how little sleep she gets, cause she can't sleep during the day. Cause she's got to take care of her, her other daughter, little Nika, who's, a year and a half. So I'm just going to go ahead and pray. Father God, I lift up little Victoria up to you and we thank you so much for this precious baby and the work that you, are doing in Maria and Vasa's life right now, Father God. And I come to your throne of grace, Father God, and I'm asking for deliverance for this family so that Maria can get some rest and little Victoria does not have to live under this curse, does not have to carry this curse, and does not have to bring a curse upon the rest of the household. So in the name of Jesus, I bind up this spirit of gassiness and colickiness, and I command it to leave and to cease and desist from causing this unrest and disturbance in the household. And I thank you, Father God, that not only is this infirmity gone in the name of Jesus, but that you have put faith into Maria and Vasya tonight and that they are receiving this blessing as well. And that Maria is going to get her sleep tonight like never before. And she's going to wake up praising the Lord when I ask her tomorrow morning, Father God. And it's going to be like this from now on. Thank you so much, Father, that we can turn to you, that we can bring our loved ones to you, and that you answer our prayers on their behalf in order to bring them into the faith, Father God. I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Lana, and we thank you, Father, that her prayer is being answered right now in the name of Jesus. Victoria, you be healed, girl, in the name of Jesus. And that's right. She's going to get a great night's sleep tonight. And Father, because you answer prayers that are believed. And we believe Victoria's healed. And they're all going to get some sleep. Thank you, Father. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We praise you, Father, that it is born. Amen and amen. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Lord, for this family getting a great night's sleep tonight. Jesus' name. Okay, Geneva.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Lana's sister-in-law. And I can also say, too, I know I kind of went through similar. Micah would sleep through like 3 or 4 hours, and then it'd be like every 45 minutes after that, seemed like she'd be up. But, you know, just continuing to pray and trust the Lord that he's going to take care of it. And she is actually to the point where, like, when she stands up, or throughout the day and stuff, it's like she's starting to wear herself out more now. So she's starting to sleep better at night, which is awesome. Praise the Lord. So I believe that for her. And thank you, Lord, that this mom is going to get beautiful sleep and have so much energy when she needs it. But anyways, my voice is healed in Jesus' name. I'm just going to say that. Anyways, I've asked for prayer, and I believe all the prayers. Thank you all for praying. But I just wanted to give testimony about, you know, we went down to Kentucky for Thanksgiving, be with the family and whatnot. Anyways, so Mom came down here, and you know how we said the prayer a few outreaches ago that when Mom comes here, you know, that any demons, anything like that has to leave and be gone in Jesus' name. And Mom was the most sound and most level-headed I think I've seen her. And, man, I can't remember, but she was just so focused on Micah the entire time and was helping me. And I was actually able to kind of like take a break, and which was really nice. And mom was just happy and walking around and cleaning and singing to the baby songs, and gave the little baby a bath and was outside pushing her around in her stroller. And just, you know, that, I know, I guess it really, you know, it really blessed my heart, because, you know, me and Isaac, we'd went through all of that to get mom down here. Isaac, obviously, a lot, because he bought her that trailer. But, you know, and that was a pretty rough situation, mom going back home. So, you know, it always kind of made me feel like, well, Satan would try to lie to me and tell me, you know, hey, you and your daughter, you aren't good enough for her to have stayed. And I had to cast that down a lot and tell those thoughts, you know, to be gone from me, because it was trying to cause me to have bitterness and unforgiveness toward my mom. And, you know, I know at the end of the day, it's not my mom. It's just, it's demons, and the Lord's delivering her. She is delivered. And I just, anyways, just want to thank the Lord that, you know, I feel like I kind of, my heart was really softened, and it was a good time with mom. We actually had a really good day. One day we went to Goodwill, then we went to Chinese and pigged out, and all the way to little Chinese waitresses were all wanting to hold Micah, and it was funny, but it was cute. It was just a good time. So anyways, so I just want to thank the Lord for that. But anyways, I want to thank you all for your prayers. And the drive back was so smooth, because I thought it was going to start out pretty rough, you know, because it's like a 12-13 hour drive, and Micah was screaming and crying, and I just said a prayer. I was like, God, please do not let us go through this entire time. And he just calmed that little girl down, and she was fine the rest of the time. And anyway, so just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name, Lord. We know that when we pray, it's going to happen. Thank you, Lord, for giving Geneva and her mom a great time together, and the baby, in Jesus' name. That's what grandma's supposed to do. Amen. So, Lord, I pray for Geneva right now, and I command that spirit of infirmity off of her. I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. Leave her. And all the symptoms go from her right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father, because I know it's done. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. All right, anyone else?
I'll tag on that more too, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I really mean this. I mean this right now. When you said that, Michael, I for real like took a deep breath, and I feel like my head, all of that just like cleared up. I feel like, amen, my throat even sounds better. Like, I feel like the whatever was blocking it, like, I feel like I can even talk better. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. You are so awesome, Father. Instantaneous. That's the way we like it. Thank you, Father. Lord of God. You are awesome, Lord. I praise you and I glorify you for doing that for Geneva.
Hallelujah.
In the name, Father, of Jesus. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, hi. I don't know if I mentioned her before or not, but a really good family friend of ours. She's like an aunt to me. And back in 2019, she started having these symptoms, and she was unsteady, and her muscles were weakening, and she went to a bunch of different doctors, and they said it was some kind of palsy type of thing. And so they put her on this medicine, and it just really, in my opinion, it really messed her up. Like, it just went downhill really fast from there. So anyway, she ended up in a nursing home because she passed out several times, and she ended up in a nursing home. And that was 2019. So in 2020, with COVID, nobody was allowed to go visit her. No, she couldn't have any therapy or anything. And so she was just like literally in bed all day by herself with no support. And so because of that, she just is like crippled up and she can't get out of, she can't move. She just lays there and she can kind of smile and whisper a few things, but pretty much she just lays there and can't do anything. And I mean, she was just such a lively, just a wonderful lady. So I hadn't been down there for quite a while. Like in 2019 when I was down there quite a bit, helping them out a lot. But because with COVID and everything, and I haven't been down there much, but I went down there last weekend and it was just so sad to see her like that. And, you know, I did pray over her and, you know, cast out anything I could think of casting out. But I just, I don't know if you guys could help me pray for her. I don't know what, you know, she grew up in India. So she's Jain. That's another religion in India, you know, so she, no, she doesn't, I mean, told her about Christ and everything, but she doesn't believe in Christ or anything. So that's kind of where it stands. So I've prayed already. I don't know if you guys can pray for me or pray for her. That would be great.
What's her name?
It's Munju. It's like M-U-N-J-U, Munju. Okay.
Lord, we lift up Munju to you. Lord, you know what she believes. But I know you're a gracious God. And I know, Lord, if we pray and we believe, that Manju is coming into the kingdom. In the name of Jesus right now, I break the power of this religious spirit off of Manju right now in Jesus' name. I command the devil to get his hands off of her mind. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to grant repentance to her. I ask you to do that and bring her into the kingdom in Jesus' name. This is all for Benita. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, because we believe that when we pray, it's happening. I'll send the angels out there right now and start ministering to her in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, that Manju is coming into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, Amen. We thank you for another lost soul brought into the kingdom. In the name that's above every name, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thanks. Thank you for the miracle, Lord.
Yes. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Marilyn.
I just got a text from my neighbor, Ollie, and we've prayed for on here before, and she got healed of COVID, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit, and so she knows that we get together and she knows that the Lord hears our prayers and answers them. And anyway, I just got a text from her, a request asking for prayer for her dad. I don't know that her dad is a believer. His name is Tom, and the text says his doctor prescribed 4 anti-inflammatory meds. He should only really take one. He's got internal bleeding and he's getting blood and fluids. And so, Father, we lift Tom up to the throne of grace. Father, we don't know his status, but you do. You see and you know everything about his heart and his life. And I know and trust and believe that Ollie has been praying for household salvation for her family. And Father, if Tom is not a believer, we claim that he will be, and that he's going to be believing Thomas, that there's not going to be any doubt in him at all. Father, your word does say that when the judgments are in the land, the people learn righteousness. And Father, as he is sick in the hospital right now, that you got a captive audience, and Lord, that we We pray, Lord, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon him, even right now, to be ministering to him, to grant him repentance and faith, and to enlighten the eyes of his understanding, to grant unto him the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Christ. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for the work that you're doing in him right now. Father, we loose the angels. We command that spirit of death off of him. We break the power of all the pharmakia and the curses that have been spoken over him. And we command that he's going to get up out of that bed and he's going to walk out of that hospital. But Lord, that more than anything, that he, when he walks out of that hospital or even before, Lord, he's going to be walking into the kingdom, because that's the most important thing. I know from things Ollie has shared with me, we break the power of the spirit of rejection off of him in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, that he's just, he's going to be able to see and hear and receive the truth of the gospel. And Lord, that you're going to make a way for him to hear the gospel, whether it be through Ollie or you bring someone else across his path. We don't care. All we care about is, Father, his salvation. So, Father, we just give you all the praise and the glory for what you're doing here, even tonight. Even tonight, Father, and there's going to be a great praise report out of this. I know that Ollie's just such a different person since she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit a few months ago. And if you choose to use her, praise God, I'm sure that he can see a change in her, because I know I can. So, Father, I just thank you and praise you for the work you're doing here. And thank you that Tom is preserved. He is preserved unto the day of salvation. And he's not leaving this earth unsaved. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe with Marilyn, Lord, we just, I pray that the Lord of Harvest would send someone there that he would listen to, whether it be his wife or someone else, to come into the kingdom, Lord, and I thank you for it. And I praise you for it, Lord, because I believe this man is coming in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Nick, what you got, buddy?
We're getting together with our family for Christmas on the 18th and going to Frankenmuth.
To look around
on the 18th of this month.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you have fun. Lord of God. You going to have any good food there?
Pizza.
Get out of here. Good old pizza. That's good. Lord of God. Pizza for Christmas.
Huh. Yeah.
All right. Now that's better than all that other fixings that they used to do. Thank you, Lord. All right. Lord, we just ask that you be with Nick, that he don't eat too much and don't play too hard, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, Rihanna, Claire.
Hello, everyone. How you doing? And Nick, you'll like this one. I woke up this morning.
Praise God.
Yes, that's always a blessing. And got up my quiet time and ready to go to work. And then I realized, wait, it's actually my day off today. I don't have to go to work. reminded me of being to go to school on a public holiday or something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I got my days mixed up. Well, I have a prayer request. This is a long story, but I suppose I'll make it short, because it's just something that kind of needs to get finished and finalized. There's from our old business we used to have in South Africa, there's stock of products that's still left over there. Now, this has been going on for months and months, that the company that we work, that we dealt with, has lost this stock of these products that needs to go to one of my friends, because he's going to sell it in his business. If we don't find it, I've got to pay for them. And this company's just kind of dragging their feet. And Lord told us to close that up long ago, and we have, but I can't close it up finally until this stuff just gets there. I've asked my mom to help out, because it's quite hard with the time difference as well between Australia and South Africa for me to contact these guys and be on them. And so she's graciously, asked or offered to help out. Anyway, so the prayer request is that the Lord knows where it is. They can't find it. Well, the Lord knows where it is. It just needs to go from wherever it is to my mate in South Africa, and then everything is done and we can sort it out. So I don't want to use, or be in debt or use God's money to pay that off. Now, the interesting thing is that the amount of products is 66. And I said, keep on saying to the enemy, no, it's not your products, even though that it's just by chance that it's 66 is the amount that needs to go. So it's not a big amount. It's not a large amount of money. It's just that last little final thing that needs to get done. So I can use some prayer just in agreement that this would be done. Now, it's not going to drag on, because I'm paying on a monthly basis still just to keep the accounts open and things like that. It's not a lot, but it's, it needs to be done with. We need to get rid of all that stuff. So my prayer request is that we pray and you'd agree. I might pray, and if you guys would agree, that'd be great if anything else comes up. So Lord, and you know the situation, and Father, you know it's just one box with 66 items in it. And I just rebuke that number in the name of Jesus, and it's got no a hold on it. There's no doubt in my mind or anything like that. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd send your angels right now to wherever those items are and that box is, and that it would go to the intended destination right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that I'll text my mom and I'll let her know that it's all done and that she can see the miracle. Let her know, Lord, that we've prayed and we've agreed, and then it's done, and we're not going to be out of pocket, out of debt. And I thank you, Father, for closing this up properly. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we all hook our faith up, agree on, declare, and believe it is done to your glory, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Them angels has already got that package out the door in Amen. Jesus' name, because they can do that. Glory to God.
Angels.
$50 in that mailbox right out there right now. Jesus' name. You remember that one?
Yeah.
David. Yeah, amen, Lord. We just thank you that package is home, where it belongs. All right. Thank you, Lord. We believe it.
Amen. Thank you.
I would like to also agree with you for a pain. I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago in my shoulder blade and neck. And the little sucker's still there. So if you could just agree with me that it's gone and that I don't suffer from this, and there's no condemnation in those who are living in Christ Jesus, and that it's no longer me that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me, and he bore all the curse and the pain and the sin and death 2,000 years ago so that we can live in freedom. I don't accept this pain. I don't accept any tightness or anything, any inflammation at all in my shoulder area or back area or arm area at all. In the name of Jesus, it is gone.
Amen. We command that pain to leave her and never show your ugly self again in Jesus' name. She is a child of the living God, and you don't have a right there, so you go. Thank you, Father. It is done. And all the symptoms. All right, I got a text here from Patrick. He said, not going to be in the meeting tonight as I have a night shift to give, but I am with you in spirit. He said, also, I believe many of the faction is monitoring the site updates, seeking ways to entrap us as those did Jesus. Well, they don't have a chance because we've got angels protecting us in the name of Jesus, and we praise you, Father, for your warrior angels standing around about this outrage and the local, in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that everything that they've tried to do has been cast down and cast back on. Lord, what you sow, you shall reap. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to bring back your elect out of that factious group. And we thank you for it, Father. We're looking for it. We're looking for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And we praise you for it. Lord, we ask that you be with Patrick, too, as he works these night shifts. I know it's kind of hard on people to do those night shifts at times. It was on me when I used to have to do it. But, Lord, I thank you for giving him supernatural energy, giving him wisdom to get the job done. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody else? Ooh, thank you, Jesus. All right. I think we were going to talk about Christmas tonight, wasn't we? Has anybody got any info on Christmas? Should we or should we not put up a Christmas tree and celebrate Santa Claus? I don't want to see hand signals. I want to see some talking here.
No, Michael, we should not.
Thank you, Ria. You are a brave young man, I'll tell you.
We should not bring trees into our house. And we should not be celebrating Santa.
No. You just misplaced one letter out of that name, Santa, and you got who does it. All right. Is everybody, listen, I will say this. If you've got family members that celebrate it for whatever reason, and they don't want to hear the things that we have against Christmas, the only thing that should be celebrated is the Lord, right? Not some little red fat guy in a PJ outfit. And his PJs out there trying to act like he's the Lord, running around in a bunch of reindeers and a sled when there ain't no snow in Arkansas. It don't happen. Jesus' name. All right. We will serve the Lord. That's right, Barbara. Good verse. Yes, Rihanna.
I think for most Christians, probably this would be very easy to say, okay, we shouldn't be celebrating Christmas in a worldly way. That the question is more when the difficult thing for us came in, when we decided we're not going to be celebrating that day at all, even not celebrating Jesus's birth. Because a lot of people would say, yeah, of course, we're not going to do all the worldly things and all the vanity and that comes with it, but we should celebrate Christ's birth still. So that's a Christian thing to do. And then that was what was very difficult, is then to say, well, why have our family then decided, even though we grew up celebrating it, my dad read Luke 2 every Christmas Eve to us together as a family, wonderful, special moments we had together. Why is my family, why are we deciding not to do it? You know, you can come over as rebellious or judgmental. That is more the question, I suppose, that I'd like to hear from others, is how they handle that. And I know with us, we probably went through stages of, you know, complete legalism to being desperate and actually attending Christmas events and things against our conscience. So we've gone back and forth. Our family, we don't celebrate Christmas. Our kids get more than enough gifts throughout the year. They don't need it on that day, and they'll tell you that. We still get together as a family just because it's a holiday and it's a nice sunny day normally for us here in the Southern Hemisphere. So it's fun time to cook a nice meal and spend together, but nothing Christmassy,
I suppose. He says that because he wants trifle.
Yes, that's actually all I want. But it doesn't have to be in the name of Jesus' birth. We can do that regardless.
Well, there's a lot to Christmas that is satanic also. And I'm not going to go into all of that, but y'all probably already know about that. And we shouldn't be celebrating anything that's Antichrist. Go ahead, Barry or Marilyn.
You know, when we first came across this realization that Christmas was a problem, one of the things that we learned was an example in the scripture, Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. I'll read this. Jeremiah 10, verse 1, "Hear ye the word which Jehovah speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith Jehovah, learn not the way of the nations, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vanity. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with an axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are like a palm tree of turned work and speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good." So it's, you know, there you go, cutting a tree, standing it up, decorating it with, you know, stuff. It's just, it's exactly what we all did, you know, before we figured or where the Lord showed us that there was a problem there. And that's it's educational. We need to know that. But we've seen that really kind of get ugly with, you know, in a fellowship that we were with one time where we shared a space with another group of believers. We had services at different times, and the other group had put up a Christmas tree, and somebody in our group just had a, just stop the whole service, stop. We got to get that thing out of here. You know, it was really awkward and weird. And I've seen that kind of thing. We, you know, it's really, we want to avoid that kind of thing. It was pretty unchristlike, and that's what we really want to not do. Anyway.
That's what I mean. We need to be weak to the weak. You know, David teaches that quite a bit. Well, the Word teaches that. We need to be weak to the weak. Go ahead, Rhea or Claire.
I'll maybe just share something. I suppose I'll maybe a little bit flippant earlier and saying, oh, it's easy for all of us to understand why we don't celebrate Christmas. But I suppose for the recording's sake, that is something we can go into, and we can clarify if there are still people that's confused maybe about the date or uncertain. I mean, the pagan side of the 25th of December, someone else can discuss, but I sent this a long time ago to one of the guys who was, you know, trying to kind of argue with me about that, or was very legalistic about Christmas here in our town. And I remember then I had a thought about this, about the significance of the days when everything happened to Jesus. Now, I don't want to, I can't say whether I know for sure or that anybody knows for sure what the date is that Jesus was born. I just know that it's definitely not the 25th. Like, I'm sure about that. It's all around December, right? And this is one thing that I thought about. But we must, Romans 14 verse 5 says, let each man be fully assured in his own mind. And I want to kind of put this to all of us as well. Is that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Right. So he is the Lamb of God. Then wouldn't it make sense? And I'm not saying that I believe Jesus was born in April or Jesus was born in September. I'm just putting this out there. So wouldn't it make sense that if he was the Lamb, that he would be born when lambs are usually born, which is around springtime, right? Most of the case, it could be sometimes fall as well. So that's when new life starts. And then it was the Jewish New Year is when and was around spring. Now that's the only Jewish holiday, as far as I know, that doesn't have what I call a Jesus significance. Now hear me out. So he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey when lambs were chosen for the slaughter. That's the same day that the Jewish traditions, they chose lambs, which one they're going to kill at Passover. That's the same day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. He was raised 3 days later. Then he was slaughtered on the day, crucified, when lambs are slaughtered on the day of that day of preparation on Passover, just before it starts. That's the same day Jesus was crucified. Then 3 days later, he was not touched for the rest of the unleavened bread feast, right? So he was, there's significance in there. So all I'm saying is that if you look at the types and shadows of the Old Testament and how the Lord uses the feast of the Jewish festivals and things, not that we should keep them, but he uses them as types and shadows for timings and when things happen. That for me was very convincing that if he's the Lamb of God, then he followed those types. And then the 25th of December does not make any sense at all. Like, I can't see how that fits in that storyline. At all. So that's kind of where how we landed on the 25th. I know there's lots of Christian historians, and this has been debated for a long time, and people have read into Hippolytes and Josephus and Josephus. And then no one read Josephus, no.
what do you call it?
Josephus. old Joe. That ancient Joe. And I think it was on Hippolytus' statue where he wrote, you know, the 2nd of April as the date of Jesus' birth, all that stuff. I don't think we need to go into it. I think it's more around, it doesn't make any sense to us, for me, like it's on the 25th. My dad, on the other hand, he's very, very adamant about it. And he goes, he says he doesn't care what day it is. He doesn't care if it's a pagan holiday. That doesn't affect him at all. He celebrates the birth of Jesus on the 25th. That's the day that Christians have chosen to celebrate it. And Christians must take back that day for themselves. And so it has to be. So that's kind of, there's a bit of disparity in between that, but that's fine. I mean, we don't judge them for that at all. You know, like we don't argue around that space. The Lord's been gracious with us to separate us and let us as a family, you know, decide how we want to celebrate that day. But there's very many pagan roots to it. And we can't say the same for Halloween. We're not going to say, all right, now just because Halloween is a satanic day, we should take that back for Christianity and we should start celebrating Jesus's bar mitzvah or something on that day or what. I don't think there's no biblical basis for that either, like that we found that ever says. In fact, we've even talked about celebrating birthdays as a whole, whether that's, you know, that's pagan to a big extent as well. We're not commanded to celebrate birthdays at all in the Bible. We're not commanded to not celebrate it either, so people can make an argument on that side as well. But yeah, from a Berean perspective of studying the word and finding out the truth of it and what are we allowed to do and not allowed to do, we are commanded to stay away from any pagan rituals. Then it doesn't take very long for anybody to start digging around and find out that there are many, many pagan roots and rituals that go with it that you kind of go, well, I really can't participate in this at all if I want to be pure and holy and separate in front of my God. But we can't be legalistic. We can't be judgmental. We have to be weak to the weak. We have to be kind. The difficult thing comes in, how are you kind without compromising on your faith and your beliefs?
Well, it's not going to keep them from going to heaven. They celebrate it. They don't know. Yes, Vanita?
Yeah, I was just going to mention a couple of things that I picked up from David's teaching that I thought was interesting. One of the things that he mentioned was back in the beginning, the founding of the United States, some of the presidents were against having Christmas as part of the holiday here in the United States. And I didn't realize that, but they understood the origins of it. And of course, the marketing people won because it made them a lot of money. And so we have Christmas. So I thought that was interesting. I didn't realize that any of the presidents had taken a stand on that. So that was one thing. And then, you were just saying that, our focus needs to be in the Word. And, there's another word there. It's the Word is where we need to be focused, not the world. And there's just one letter difference there, just like in Santa and Satan. So just one letter makes a difference. And so it's not in the Word specifically. And I think somewhere in the Word, I don't remember exactly where, but David mentioned also that we're not to, honor one day above another, like they used to in the Old Testament, because now we're in the New Testament, we're under a new covenant, and we're not to do that. So, that would even kind of go towards birthdays, honoring one day over another. Every day is to be, we're to be in the rest, the Sabbatismo. When I came out of, when I came into Christianity, before that we would do a lot of different Indian celebrations, religious celebrations that I was a part of. And so that was really hard to come out of because my mom was really into all that and she knew all the different things to do. And so we did all of it. And it took me several years to get out of that because I knew it would just break her heart. It was really hard for her to accept that. So, I finally came out of that and she kind of accepted it. And we're over that now. And so now this thing's come up about Christmas. And it's kind of like that, in Michigan, we have Michigan and Michigan State. So, we've got a house divided. If one kid goes to college in one college and the other kid goes to another college, then you have a house divided. Anyway, it's a Michigan thing, but so in my house, it's kind of a house divided with Christmas. So it's a struggle because, there's decorations all over here. and when I first, like last year, when I first understood it, I started to talk about it and express where I stood on it. And I just realized real quickly that I couldn't do that. And I praise the Lord, David had that teaching on, just being weak to the weak and understanding and, just the grace that needs to be poured out in that situation. And so, it's a hard balance because I want to take a stand, but I can't take a stand. And so it's kind of do it in my mind. I just keep praying and, just keep bringing up verses and thinking on those things as I can so that I don't get pulled into too much into all the stuff that's going on around me. So anyways, that's all. Amen. Thanks.
Amen. Yeah, we have to be weak to the weak to our family members that aren't there yet. And because when you do, you'll shine the light of Christ because of your patience and love for them from Christ. It's that love of Christ that we will show, not the hate of Christ. Yep. Amen. Go ahead, Dick.
Yeah, I just did a research and I found out when Jesus was born.
Okay. You got to let us know, brother.
September 11th.
Oh, okay. How'd you get that information?
From Google.
Oh, well, heck, that just solidifies it then. Glory to God. All right. We're going to have Christmas in September now.
Well, that's crazy because that's 9/11. That's kind of crazy.
I was fixing to say that's 9/11. I don't know, Nick. I don't know if that's right. I think Google's messing with you. I think Google's on dope.
That might cause some issues in the U.S. if you start celebrating Christmas on 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah. It would. All right, Missy.
Well, I remember David sharing quite a while back about how there at 9/11, I remember him saying that there's a lot that have figured out that that's what they really think it is. If it's not that, it's real close to that. So I remember him sharing that a while back. It's interesting, huh?
Well, how do they ascertain that's his birthday? Did he tell them? Because it ain't in the word.
Now, the only way they can do that, Michael, is if they have to go into the high priest order that Zechariah, when Zechariah was actually in the temple, and then they can work out when he got home, so when he could conceive with with his wife, then they can work out 6 months on to when Mary conceived. So if you can figure that out, then you can find out probably very close when he was conceived, at least. But man, but there's all priestly orders that's been skipped or replaced, and who's got time to go and figure that out? Or no, some people have tried.
Who cares? He doesn't want us celebrate that anyway. He wants us celebrate the Lord.
Yeah, there's enough genealogies in the Bible to study. You're not going to go find another one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead, Judah.
I just remember when I was reading about that, when I got the revelation about Christmas and all that, the only thing Jesus told us to remember about anything, about celebrating anything, was do this in remembrance of me, right? Taking Passover, taking the bread and the wine, do this in remembrance of me. That's the only thing he said that we're supposed to be doing. And as far as taking note of any day, you know, but that's something we do every day anyway, is, you know, remembering, you know, what he did, his death, you know, celebrating his death, burial, resurrection. That's what we're supposed to be remembering. And that's a daily thing, I think.
Yeah. Amen. How did the little short red fat guy in the PJs come into the picture? Where did he come in the picture at? I think it was a Coca-Cola commercial.
I used to love those Coca-Cola
movies. I know it. I did too, but not since I came a Christian. I am staunch against the Lord of God. No. They were cute.
So he's not real? Is it? Oh.
Go ahead, Claire.
Michael, I just maybe want to share from my own experience. So I grew up obviously very nominally Christian in a nominally Christian home. And we used to, man, did we have a shiny ashram in our house, and it was a highlight. And as soon as we got married, Rian and I, like, the Lord just convicted me to never have a tree in the house. Like, we never ever had a tree in the house. We were still coming out, I think, the first 2 years of our marriage. And then, you know, coming out of things, not really understanding. And then we found David's stuff and we started understanding a bit more. And it was really trying to maintain a loving attitude towards family members who could not understand the change of, you know, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me through baptism and the Holy Spirit, how different we were. And then yet now we're also, not only are we different, but we're making these stands against stuff that society says is normal. And it was really quite tough. And I want to pray for those who are coming out still, who it's quite recent for, like, cause it's a really hard road. And I want to say this, that, you know, I'm sure there's people who've been walking it longer than what I have, but it's been more than a decade for me. And my mom still sends me photos every year of her house done up. You know, she still sends me for no one. There's no one that's going to go into that house. It's just her and my dad, but they do it every year. They send me videos of Elf Yourself, which I think are hilarious, but it's like, they still send money for me to buy presents for the kids to give them presents on Christmas morning. And a few years I didn't. I was a bit maybe rebellious or self-righteous or just judgmental. And I just wouldn't do it. I'd give the presents on the day that we finished school or on another day. And then the Lord just spoke to me and said, you know what? Just doesn't matter. If they get a Christmas present from their grandparents on the 25th, it's a present from their grandparents. It doesn't matter. So now I kind of get I print out a little card for them, and my kids are living a different life. So getting that input one day a year doesn't really matter.
It doesn't confuse them.
But I am seeing a lot of my friends who have been, they grew up in homes where they didn't celebrate Christmas. And they've been parents for a decade, and now they're going into celebrating Christmas. And they're believers. And I can't understand. Or I've got friends who are, you know, putting up things at churches and having like these Christmas programs at church and stuff. I wouldn't say, when I say friends, I mean more like just homeschool community stuff. So it becomes a bit tricky. And I think we just kind of recede, don't we, from October to kind of end of January every year. We just sort of recede back and say no to a lot of things because it's our conscience is convicted, but I've never felt the need to really go toe to toe with anyone about it because the Lord has to convict them. So I would like to pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us so much of your truth and giving us the grace to walk in the light of your Son and to come more and more into his image. And Father, it is a time of year that the world has set up where there might be extra funds, there might be extra time to spend time with family, and the world has shown us how to do it so well. But we are not fashioned according to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, and our minds need to be transformed into Christ. And Father, I pray for those who are coming out bit by bit, who are either new to walking this way with Christ or just new to the revelation of Christmas and what that means for a true believer. Father, I pray for a spirit of grace on my brothers and sisters. I pray for a spirit of peace. I rebuke all desire to argue, to justify. I pour out a spirit of peace and patience, Lord, that it wouldn't be taken as offense when people are being Christmassy. It is not us that they offend, Lord. It is Christ that they offend, and you can't offend a dead person. I rebuke all critical spirits in the name of Jesus. Father, you tell us very plainly in your word that we're not to judge the ones that are without. So Father, if we still have family members who have not yet come into the kingdom, we can only but love them with your love, Lord, not the fleshly carnal love of this world, with the love of Christ, because that is the power to save. I pray this, Lord, and I believe it, Lord. I believe that you're going to give your saints supernatural patience and grace during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I agree with everything Claire prayed. In Jesus' name. You know, I don't know about y'all, but when I grew up, Christmas was a big deal. I grew up in a big family. I had three brothers and two sisters. And it was always a big deal. We had a big house, and a big tree that went up, presents all over the thing. Mother had all the Christmas photos, you know, of the family and all that garbage and sent it out. Just tons of money spent on nothing, you know. And we continued that tradition after I got married with our kids up until it came to Christ, you know, back in 97. And it was I knew right away that it was wrong, but I didn't just shut it down. I just gradually told them, you know, this is not of Christ, and we need to, you know, back off a little bit. Because some people spend way too much money on that stuff, way too much money. I know we did. We spent money sometimes that we didn't have and had to pay it out through the year, you know, back early on. And it was a burden, actually. And, but anyway, when I came to Jesus, came to Christ, and found out that Christmas was not of the Lord, that it wasn't hard for me to decide, you know, to give it up myself. But I still had family members that liked to do that weren't saved. And like Claire was talking about, we have to have a lot of grace during those period of time. Now, I did shut down Halloween altogether. I said, we're not going to do that. We're just not going to do it. That's not of God. It's of Satan. It's celebrating him. That's God. We're not going. I don't want to see a pumpkin. I don't want to see nothing like that on my yard. And they agreed to it. And that was okay. But Christmas was a big deal. So, but we gradually got out of that. So that's how we did. You gotta have a lot of grace. Now, since I haven't been there, they started it back up, you know, in different parts of the family. But at least they have that in their mind. And at the right time, God's going to work in to get rid of that mess. They celebrate it in their churches. All over, you know. But they're just deceived right now. But that's why God's going to have this shaking coming up. When God has this shaking coming up, a lot of that stuff will go down the wayside. Because that's not going to be important to him anymore. What's going to be important is, am I going to survive tomorrow? And that's what God's going to do. He's going to clean out the houses. All right, anybody else on Christmas? If not, I got something that Riyadh wants to talk about. Yes, Joe. You got your Santa Claus out there, Joe?
No.
Not yet.
I can usually, with a Christian, I usually ask him just for interest sakes before Christmas and things, if Jesus didn't say it, why do you celebrate something Jesus didn't say? Why don't you rather keep what he does say about believe, deny self, take up your cross, keep my commandments? Why did you, when most people don't do even that, why did they choose something that Jesus didn't talk about? So just what I want to say, thanks.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Just why don't you do the simple stuff first?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rios.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly that, Joe, when you were talking now, when you said, well, what he did command us to keep. And then I'm thinking of when he spoke to the disciples and he told them how to pray. If you think from a Jewish culture perspective, they had all these little traditions and rituals on how to pray. Wake up in the morning and before you eat and blah, 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 all these things. They were doing it all the time. You know, they were just so many laws and rules on how to pray. But then he came and he said, no, you must pray this way. That would have been very offensive You've got to pray Abba Father for one. You know, they didn't do that. They just said, you know, King of the Universe and things like that. But and he told them, no, you must pray this way. And then also he split the veil of the temple when he died. And then abolished all the feasts. Don't keep any of those feasts. Imagine that. Like those are proper Jewish feasts. That's not even pagan, you know, from that perspective. And we're not even keeping those. So it's mind boggling to think that you would now keep. I mean, if we were going to have to keep something, why not keep some of the old Jewish feasts, right? But we were not supposed to keep because you can't go under that law. Yeah. Okay. So we can go on about that. But what I wanted to say was, we have to remember that our fight is not against flesh and blood in this time. So we have to recognize what spirits we're up against and bind those. What are the dominant things in your family that goes on at that time? I mean, Jezebel would be right up there with all the planning and controlling. Everybody must be together and we must eat this and it must go this way. Controlling. It's the loneliness and the suicidal spirits. It's the judgmental, critical spirits. It's a time where it's vanity that you got to come against. It's these outward appearances, but lots of families put up this big facade that they're happy at this time and it's all wonderful, but they actually fight every single year at Christmas. There's big arguments and it's really not that great, you know. It's the uncle that comes over and causes nonsense or whatever it is, you know. It's the kids being spoiled or
kids being ungrateful.
And none of those things are. We have to remember then that that's not a fight, not against flesh. It's not against those people. It is against those spirits. And I think if we went at it from that direction, and we bind up those spirits, we would be able to tolerate going to one of these if we were invited. And the Lord said that we should go. I'm not saying we should. I'm just saying if it comes to that, not be legalistic about it. We would be able to, like you said, Michael, come out of it gradually then, because you know it's not against flesh and blood. We can gradually do it if the Lord allows that. But then the same sense, man, if all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And if you do decide that the Lord tells you to cut it off, you might have nothing to do with it, don't touch it, then you've got to suffer the persecution that comes after that. But know that persecution is not coming against, it's not flesh against flesh, it's spirit. It's the, just bind up those spirits. So yeah, we didn't mind the persecution, even though it was hard, you know. It's, we just sometimes wonder why it doesn't stop, you know, why does it continue on? But that's okay. Like, doesn't say it'll stop. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Amen. The closer we get to Christ, the more persecution we're going to see. Because people can't stand it. All right. Anyone else? All right, Rayon, do you want to go ahead and talk about some things that you want to talk about?
Yes, I feel like I've spoken a lot now, so I don't know if there's somebody else.
No, that's okay.
Else,
go ahead.
It's my day off, so now you all got to sit and listen to me. But I'm very happy to be here with all of you. It's really wonderful. I'm always very, very excited. I don't have to work today. Yeah, I might share something. I know this recording is being recorded, so there's a possibility that and people will be listening to this. And so it's all out of love, and it's just a learning for myself personally, and for Claire as well, that we've been through a bit of a trial here. And I shared that a little bit with you, Michael. And I just want to see how do I approach this. I want to. The one thing that I was confronted with, I think it fits in nicely with what we're talking about here, is deception. Deception's outside of the word of God. And we've had challenges here. You guys prayed for us the other day for our fellowship year, and we've had a bit of a faction, I suppose, yeah, a mini faction on that. And I unknowingly or unpurposefully offended someone, I think quite badly, when I used a example that I didn't know was going to offend them. And I'll tell you what the example is, because that's what I wanted to chat about. But the discussions we had here came around when we fellowship and when we get together, we should be talking about the word. And the word is the 66 books of the Bible are the final, complete, authoritative word of God. And the reason we say that is because it creates, I think, a safe space where we can discuss any topic we like, as long as we all agree that that's going to be the final word, the final authority is going to come from that. And it came about when we realized that some people were not just studying, but keeping other books of the Bible like Enoch and Jasher that's mentioned in the Bible, but keeping those and some of the other apocryphal books at the same level as scripture. And almost saying that if you're only studying the 66 books, you're at a lower level. You haven't reached that other level. You need to study some of those books, and then you'll reach this, like, whoa, the Lord will reveal so much more about the Bible to you if you study those books. And that was a bit of a red flag for us. So we put that out there. And then what happened was I put together an email because we don't get together in person all the time. And we discussed, okay, look, when we fellowship, we need to just agree. Can we just agree that the 66 books of the Bible are the final, complete, and authoritative word of God? And then I said, because a lot of things that we discuss, and here's the example that I used. I said, there's a lot of things out there that, and Michael, you've said this before, right? Facts change, but the truth remains the same. So facts can change through time, but the truth is always the same. Truth never changes. And I know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So he doesn't change. He is the truth. And I know that he is the word too, because that's what John 1 says. He's the word made flesh. Therefore, those 66 books of the Bible is Christ. It's Jesus. And when you read it, you're eating that bread, man, and you're taking in Jesus. And that's anything else you read might not be bad for you. It might not be wrong. It might not even be, you know, unfactual or something, but it's not the truth. The truth is we can only find it in the word, in any case. So I said the example that I used was, like, for instance, how people used to think that the earth was flat. And, you know, long ago, which I only realized later, that's actually much longer ago than what I thought, but that the earth is flat and they thought it was a fact. But now we know that the earth is a globe, and therefore facts change, but the truth remains the same, because the earth didn't change shape. The earth has always been that shape. I used that example, and I used it. I don't know why I used that example. I could have used many other examples in it. I didn't think anything of it, and I didn't realize that the people that I was sending this email to believed that the earth was flat. And that caused quite a stir. I could see Barry laughing. So I stepped with my foot in that one fully, and I don't think I was very much prepared for the onslaught that came after that, because so in saying that, what I wanted to share was what I realized, and the Lord took me this then through. Then I started thinking, okay, I'm open to the truth, right? So maybe my facts are wrong, and the truth is that the earth is flat. Even though I was like, okay, whoa, Lord, I don't know about this. I'm gonna go have a look. And man, that it took me a day to figure this out and had a look at it. And the thing that got me was when they started saying there's 200 verses in the Bible that says the earth is flat. 200. And there's not one that says the earth is a ball, right, round. Except there's one that says the circle of something, but they can be interpreted both ways. Then I thought, whoa, if there's 200 and I'm the one saying we need to only study the word and the truth, right, then I need to seriously look at this because I could be terribly wrong. Long story short, it turns out none of those 200 have got anything to do with the earth being flat. It doesn't say that, as far as I know. So I don't want to debate that on here because I don't know where everybody stands on it. But what I found, which was interesting, and the Lord showed me two things. And this is what I wanted to kind of share with all of us, maybe as a warning or just to be aware of, is there are a couple of things that they found, the guys who've done research into the cult of flat earthers, is there's a couple of things they share in common. For one, there are no atheists that are flat earthers. That was very interesting. Not one. Because, you know, it's so far out that you have to believe in some sort of creating being. And number two, they've got a couple of things in common. The Christians, especially that believe that, they get a lot of the information from the book of Enoch, the book of Jasher. They're very, very heavy into conspiracy theories. If you're very heavy into wanting to know about conspiracy theories, you're very susceptible to that. And that is a bit of a warning flag. They're very King James version only. That's one thing that we found as well. So those kind of characteristics. And then we found out that that's exactly what was going on here with us, is those things kept on going in. Whenever we started speaking about the ASV or other translations, so I said, no, that doesn't say that in the original text. You know, this one comes out by prayer and fasting. No, that's in the King James. We would have lots of trouble. People just run away, like literally, we just run out the door, like literally get up
and go
and run out of the door and be gone. It just, we said that, no, you know, this demons come out by prayer, not by fasting or something like that. It doesn't say that. It was interesting. So I kind of wanted to share that and say, talk about that, I suppose, because the spirit that's there is deception, it's paranoia, and it's a love for conspiracies. And it's denying everything else, and it's trying to say that science does not prove the Bible, and science cannot prove that the earth is indeed a globe. When it was, I did experiments with my kids here just in one day, and they could see it. We could see it for ourselves. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of share that and ask for prayer as well. And perhaps, you know, open it up to you guys and hear if you had any experiences like that. Because what I've realized is that we didn't argue at all. You could just say we did not argue because, like I said, I stepped my foot into it. I wasn't going to talk about it at all. It wasn't something that the Lord made me use that example. And it was just an onslaught of things that just came back to us. And we just said, no, that's okay. I said, that's all right. We've got a globe up there. I'll hide it when you come. Like, I don't care about that. I don't want to talk about it. That's not what we're going to talk about. But I do want to talk about the Bible only. And then we were accused of putting people under a law, saying, oh, we want to talk only about, and now we can't discuss any topics because we're only allowed to talk about what I want to talk about. That's not what I want to talk about. We can talk about anything, but we have to see it from the view of the Bible is the truth. And we will find the answer there if we just study it and figure it out. Yeah. So, we've been praying for them and asking the Lord and binding up these demons of deception. And I want to pray for each one of us that we do not have a love for conspiracies. Now that brought me to a second thing, and this might be a little bit more close to home, I suppose, to all of us. And one of the big things that the flat earthers then obviously dispute and deny is the moon landing. And I know we've spoken about that here, whether that really happened or not. Now I don't know whether that happened or not. I can't say that. That's very difficult. You must have a really big distrust for the government, I think, which we all have, right? And that such a big lie can be perpetuated. But one thing that I read, and I spoke to Claire about this, and this was something that kind of hit me, was two of the astronauts became Christians later. And I think most of you would probably know a lot more than me about this, but I'm just going to put this out there as a principle. Not that I want to talk about the moon landing, but because we've always, you know, agreed or thought, now that must never have happened. Right. And that's a complete lie. And it could still be, but what the one scientist that I was looking at, Christian, this is from Answers in Genesis. It was saying that two of the astronauts, Jim Wright, and I can't remember the other guy's name, became born again Christians, after the moon landing program. And they published books, and which you guys have probably seen, and they wrote their testimonies in there, and they posted the photos in there that they've taken, and they all confessed and wrote it in the books that, well, from one, they used it as that the Earth is definitely a globe, right? Because they saw it physically, but also they obviously were on the moon landing there. No, not Buzz Aldrin. It was, no, just two other guys. They were in the lunar module. Don't know if they actually even walked on the moon. I'll get the names for you guys. I'll put it there. But in any case, what he said is we as Christians got to be very careful when we start talking to other people about these things and arguing, because we're accusing. If we say that the moon landing didn't happen, we are accusing two brothers of lying without having witnesses. And that is completely against what Matthew 18 says that we should do. And that's what kind of struck me, going, oh, we've been doing that. We've been saying, oh, this is all nonsense and blah, blah, blah. But yes, two guys. Now we can debate whether they're real Christians or not, but I can't accuse anybody. I don't know. I've got no witness against it. But there's just so many little traps in that you can fall into. And Claire and I talked about it. Well, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way, that there's just two guys saying they're born again Christians. They write down their testimony and the fact that they were there at the moon landing, that it wasn't in a Hollywood studio. And yeah, we are saying that they're lying without following Matthew 18. Now, one of them is deceased. We can't obviously go and talk to them directly about this. And if we wanted to, the other one's probably quite old now, I suppose. But that was a interesting thing that kind of happened during this time. Yeah. So two things there. One, put my foot in the flat earth thing. And I didn't realize it was that bad. And then the enemy tried to almost bring that deception on me. And then I realized very quickly that there's absolutely no evidence for it. And humans have known the earth is a globe 2000 years before Christ already. It's not a new thing. It's not something that was proven by NASA. That was already known long before that. And then the other thing is, but then also to accuse people of lying before you know the truth. But please know, I'm not saying that it happened or that didn't happen. That's not what I want to talk about. It was just that concept. I thought, oh, we got to be careful as Christians to do that. So, Michael, that's it. That's my.
Let me clarify something. Did you say the two astronauts denied that they landed on the moon or that they did?
No, the two astronauts, I'll get the, hold on. I'll tell you now, Jim Wright was the one. And they became born again Christians after the moon landing.
Yeah.
And one of them wrote a book. Both of them had books that they wrote, like photograph books and everything about God's creation, because now they're obviously creationists as well. And they've got put the photos in there that they took, but they gave their testimonies of how they became Christians and also the stories of the moon landing, that it did happen. So those two guys gave their testimonies. Now they could still be lying. I'm not saying that they are telling the truth. I'm just saying, yes, two professing Christians putting it in writing that it did happen. And I was quite confronted by that, to go, but I've been calling them unknowingly liars. Without following Matthew 18. Do you know what I mean? Like, let me say, I can't say that now anymore. I'll just have to leave it. I'll just go, well, I'll find out one day. Because he has two professing Christians that's saying it did happen. Who was there? They were witnesses of it. So how do I know that for sure? That's all. I'll get it for you now, Mark.
I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. I have my beliefs. But
look, I might be completely wrong. I'm just using it as a concept, right? Like I said, I'm not digging into this stuff too deep.
Yeah. As far as the flat earth goes, anybody with half a brain and one eye figure out that the earth is round. And I'll tell you why. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Michael. Sorry, I was not muted.
Yeah. Well, when I farmed, we used instruments to put the rice levees in to hold water in on hills and valleys and things. And what we found out early on was that you can't go more than a certain amount of feet with the instrument before it starts giving you bad readings because you're too far away from it and the curvature of the earth will put you in a, your levee will not hold water. And I've done that. But not only that, I was in the Navy on a ship. And that's a prime example of a round earth, a sphere, spherical type of earth, because I was on the task force. I was on an old boat, old ship with a flat bottom that the back end dropped down and the little boats went out. They took the Marines to the shore and then they bring it back. Well, this ship that we were on was very slow and the rest of the task force would go on to wherever the destination was and we'd be lagging along behind, you know. It wouldn't be but just a little while before the other ship would be completely out of sight on the ocean. And if this was a flat earth, you should be able to see them all the way. But that's not what happened. They completely go off the, well, I guess they went off the edge of the world. I don't know. They possibly could have, but. We did. When we get to port there, they'd be, you know. But
so they like to share photos of, there's one very popular one that they use that shows Chicago over some lake or ocean. I'm not sure how that works, that you can see for, you know, miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away, further than what you should be because of the curvature. That's one photo that they used. And there's another one with the two oil drill platforms where they're right behind each other and the one is much further away and you shouldn't be able to see the bottom of it because of the curvature. But what they've done is these photographers are pretty good. The photographer is not a flat earther. The photographer just knows when to go out and when the sun or the temperatures are at the right angle where you get the refraction that happens and it lifts up the Chicago city. Actually, it's amazing that it can do that. This Chicago city like just bobs up and down and then he just goes and he snaps it as it comes. And that's because of refraction. So all of those things that they put there, when you look at it at first, you go, oh, well, there's evidence. Now look at this. There you can see the city, but it's easily with a little bit of science, like grade 10 kind of science, you can easily, refute it. But the deception is quite strong, I suppose. It's massive.
It's a deception in the Christian ranks also. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. David talked about that early on when that flat earth garbage started coming out. He said that's a distraction to divide the Christians. And that's what happened. You know, that's their religion is flat earth. Glory to God. We got a revelation that we're on a flat earth. Give me a break. How many people do y'all know that fell off of? I don't know of anybody that walked off of it. Anybody else? I don't know of anybody. I know they say that the Arctic wall is keeps everybody from falling. Oh, that's just nonsense. But anyway, he's going to clarify everything. Come on, Isaac.
Well, you know, here goes. Listen up, everybody. I got the answer. So, no, it's a good topic. And, it's, you know, I actually do have experience in this. You know, Rion said he had the, he just mentioned about the earth being round and whatnot. I guess somebody took it wrong. So maybe about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, I had somebody come over and they were really into the flat earther thing. And so they brought it up and they made me watch this video, and this person was really in it, so much so that they were part of the video, and it was a massive video circling the Christians all the time. And I watched it with him, you know, and I was just like, okay, you know, come over, man. And we watched it. I couldn't get into it. And I think he was upset that I wasn't into it. And he's like, well, do you believe? And I said, well, man, I try not to say too much, because sometimes whether you're with them or not with them, you know, people can get offended. And you know, that's something we talk about, being weak with the weak. The Lord, has really worked with me, and he's been long suffering with me, very long suffering. And I ought to be with others too. And, you know, and the guy would always bring it up, and he did bring it up, and kind of, he would hammer me with it, man. It's like, it was not to where, like, I needed to agree with him, was how it was. And I just said, look, man, when it comes down to it, it's like this. I said, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. I said, I'm going to go before the Lord. It'll be a hundredfold fruit, right? Jesus Christ in me. And the Lord's going to say, hey, you're a hundredfold. Amen. Welcome. You've done well. Welcome, my son. But wait a second. Do you believe it's a flat earth or a round earth? Let's just figure this last one out. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It's a small thing. It doesn't hold any weight to your eternal salvation. It doesn't increase our fruit. And, that's where I let it go. And sorry, I'm not trying to teach anybody here, tell anybody what to do, but with, what was the word? The conspiracies. You know, I just stay in the word, 'cause that's where I'm safe, right? Because Isaac can lead Isaac away, but Christ won't lead Isaac away, because that's the word. And, I believe him, and I believe the truth. But here's another thing about, was it, he said Joe Fetus, right? So I don't know the name either. So I'm making fun of myself. Anyways, and then what the Book of Enoch, same person read those books, and they told me, they said, well, I have all knowledge, so I can go in this and pick apart what's true and what's not. That same person, you know, and I'm trying to keep this as, I don't want to say too much, got led away, very much so. And it's terrible. So much so that they were telling me I couldn't be like Christ, but I could be like John the Beloved, and they would be Christ, and I would be like John the Beloved to them. That's literally a conversation. And I said, it's not true, and I don't receive it. I can be like Christ, because Christ liveth in me. I said, it's not John the Beloved that liveth in Isaac, but it's Christ that liveth in Isaac. And these were real conversations, but both of these instances had to do with reading these other books and flat earth, earthing, whatever, you know. So, yeah, I don't know what that even amounts to, but I do have experience in it. But it is exactly what Michael and David said. It's to divide the body more and more, because there's a great deception coming, right? And we just got to be careful of all of them. And that's all I got to say.
Amen. Isaiah 40:22 said, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. But that's flat. That's a flat circle. Oh, my. I guess one day when we're up in heaven, we'll say, who was that that said we had a flat earth?
I think, Michael, it's funny that Isaac would kind of say that as well. The warning for us is do not go beyond what is written in the 66 books. Like, do not go. It's just because Enoch and Jasher, I mean, Paul even quoted some of the Greek philosophers, right? That doesn't mean we need to go read them. It doesn't mean that. It's a trap. We will, unless you can honestly hand on your heart, say that you are finished studying the word. There's nothing more to study. You've done. You've completed it all. Then by all means, go and study something else. But there's none of us that can say that we have now saturated ourselves completely with what's in the word of God.
Amen.
And if we stray from that, we open ourselves up to great deceptions and false doctrines.
Amen. Righteousness is what we ought to be looking at. Righteousness means the ability to stand in the Father's presence without the sense of guilt or condemnation or inferiority. It means the ability to stand in the presence of Satan and his work without timidity or fear, without any sense of inferiority. That's what's important. Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, you know, set your affections on the things that are above and not on things on the earth. Whether it's flat or round, I don't care. Anyway, I like to talk a little bit more because what we're trying to talk about here is week to the week. So I'd like to hear more about that. Because, you know, I struggle with this Christmas thing for the longest time. Like, my daughter will come over and my son-in-law, and I put up this little manger scene, you know, little baby Jesus thing, and that's it. You know, like, I'll have my Christmas cards from my family. And, you know, I send them a Christmas card and I might put a Bible verse in it. You know, the one I was going to put in this year was John 3:16 and Ephesians 3:16, and hopefully they'll get it or something, you know. But if it was up to me, the Halloween thing went right away. They said, I gave no quarter to that at all. And, I'm kind of hoping if they do come over, we'll have that wonderful pizza that we had for Thanksgiving again.
It's really good.
Because he makes his own dough and stuff. But, you know, what is week to the week? Because they're going to bring me presents, you know, so I'm going to have to give them something. I don't know where they are at in their Christianity. I know that he knows a little bit more than my daughter knows. And, like he could quote to me Bible verses and stuff. So that's the thing, you know, like every year I go, oh, this again. But, you know, at least I'm not at work where they used to have three Christmas parties, one for the president of the university, one for the ancillary, and one for the office. So I didn't go to the other two. I just went to the office one because I would never hear the end of it. So you got to suffer sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people actually know that he wasn't born on December 25th. So I'm just looking forward to the day. I'm kind of hoping they'll all get saved, and I won't have this problem anymore. So, you know, like with Ben here, I just recently told him Barry's verse there in chapter 10 of Jeremiah. So he has to be weak to the weak when he goes back to his mom's. Because I've had this for a long time, ever since the kids were small. And I knew it was wrong even back then. I have these plates from the dollar store that have snowman on it, because I didn't want to get anything other than a snowman, because you're supposed to be as white as snow, you know? Oh, like, that's not really good either, you know? And so definitely it'll be a little bit different this year. And so I guess I'll still have to put out that little manger scene and point at Jesus and say, you know, that's the best gift of all. Because I used to have a big one for the kids, because they would go to all their Catholic family and they would have all that. So I had a big baby Jesus and all the whole scene set up on the coffee table. And I put their presents underneath, you know, the coffee table. And every year I would tell my children, that baby Jesus is the best gift of all. And if they ever, you know, and I was thinking, you know, if they ever get born again, you know, they'll be a baby growing up quickly, hopefully. Yeah, so I don't know if that's weak to me. It's still something I'm bringing into my house. But I'll tell you, they'll come in, they'll come over. I'll take this little thing out. It takes about 15 minutes to put on a little bureau here I have. And as soon as they leave, it goes back in the box. And it might not even be on the 25th when they come over. So, and they know. As I said, oh, I hate Christmas. So I'm hinting slowly at it. So. But I read something somewhere a long time ago. I'm going to have to review it again. About Semiramis. And Nimrod or something. So I'll have to review that again. I need prayer about that. And I think Ben needs some prayer, because he's been blowing his nose all the time. So in the name of Jesus, I already prayed for him. Could he breathe properly through his nose more and have a good night's sleep time? In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You're healed, Daniel. In Jesus' name. I have an announcement to make, if I can, at this time. I'll put it in the chat there. The donations now are going to be local here rather than in Alabama. So it is P.O. Box 544, Madisonville, Tennessee, 37354. Everybody get that?
So it's a different address then.
It's a different address. We've changed banks so we could get closer here to us.
So Maryland has nothing to do anymore?
Maryland.
Well, who is it that takes care of it over there? In,
Amy.
Amy. Madison. Yeah.
No, Amy's in Alabama.
Yeah.
That's where we had the bank before. And so now we've decided to bring it up here, and it's in the chat there if anybody needs it.
You got it all correct there, eh?
Yeah, we got a new bank. And
Let's see if I can read it.
Oh, my gosh.
Andrew?
Daniel can. Let Daniel read it.
It's on the site. And if you get the e-list, if you're on the e-list, they sent out an email with that information at the very top on there today as well.
I took a picture of that. Don't worry.
What is this P-O-B?
Office box for people in Canada.
Okay.
People in America know that it stands for post office box.
But Joe is laughing. He's laughing.
That's really good to know. Post office.
I mean, Ben.
I worked for a university. They had so many of these abbreviations.
Oh, really?
They came out of my ears, and I just didn't want to know any of them anymore after
that. Okay. Okay, well, everybody's got it now. Who had their hand up? Julie, go ahead. I think you did.
Just to kind of address what Andrew was saying there about being week to the week and stuff. Around Christmas, holidays, you know, Easter and all that stuff where people don't understand what these pagan holidays really are and that kind of thing. Like for Christmas, you know, your expected family, especially when they're in it, to kind of be part of it. And I think, first of all, you know, I think somebody already mentioned that, you know, that's if you celebrate Christmas because you don't know any better, that's not going to keep you out of heaven, right? So I think it's okay for, you know, you to be week to the week, and God knows you're not celebrating, Andrew, or anybody, you know, you're not celebrating the holiday, but to be week to the week, you know, if you're expected to show up for dinner or show up with gifts because they're expecting you to bring a gift until they're ready to understand at some point, it's not about the gifts. And you know what? It's money's tight. Look at the economy. Look at things where happen right now. Is it a priority? Is that really important, a gift, or just being together? Stuff like that. You can use those kind of reasons. Like, don't buy me anything. You know, don't spend the money on me. I don't need anything. I have everything I need. And kind of give them that out, that it's all right. You don't have to buy me anything. And because there are going to be more things that are important. Somebody mentioned earlier, it's like, are we going to get fed today because of things we're in tribulation, right? It's just putting things in perspective and just being, is just love them. You know, if they're expecting a gift from you this year, get them a gift, you know, what they will like or whatever, or if that you don't know what they like, it's, you know, money's, you know, cash is always a good gift. I had a man I worked for. He's like, you know, he always gave me cash. He goes, as far as I know, cash still works everywhere, and it's always an appropriate gift. I'm like, thank you. You know, so don't feel like, you know, the pressure. You have to do that. It's like, it's when I was working, we had Christmas parties, things where I had to show up at, and there were things I bowed out of. Like we had a gift exchange thing, and you know, it was, they always made it optional. So thank you, Lord, he made that for me. So I didn't feel like I had to participate and buy these stupid gifts that, you know, somebody doesn't need anything. And it was just, you know, alcohol and a bunch of other kind of, you know, things that, anyhow, there's just a lot of things caught up in it. But just being week to the week and showing up when you're supposed to show up for something and just be kind and, listen, be praying, you know, and at the right time, God's going to bring people out of deception, but it is a spirit behind it. There is a lot of deception around, like when he was talking about the flat earth, I watched it one or two of those things and I started thinking, I was like, they made some real valid points. You know, they made some real things. That's why I put in the chat about the whole, you know, distance for, you know, is it 10 miles that you can see with the naked eye, that you can see that far on a flat surface or whatever, like across the ocean, or, you know, like when they give the weather report sometimes, it's like the visibility is clear. It's 10 miles, you know, that you can see that far. And one of the videos I watched on that was saying they were standing at a point on land and being able to see something. I don't know where it was now, but it was past 10 miles. So if it's past 10 miles, and I can't remember their whole thing, it's like how they explained it, but they made some really valid points. And I started wondering, is it true? Is it true? And it just seems so plausible. But that is the deception. They start coming in with the knowledge you already have. Like for me, it was like 10 miles. Well, this is way past 10 miles, so it must be flat. You can't see that far otherwise, right? I don't know how they were putting it all together. I don't remember. But, you know, the Lord corrected me, and I listened to, I came back to reality, right? It's like, okay, well, what's the truth, you know? But I did listen to the teaching that David has on the site about that, because I did remember about that, and I went back and re-listened to it. I put that link in the chat, too, if anyone wants to listen to that. But it's like, you know, it just grounded me back into the truth. You know, the enemy wants to deceive us with so much. But it's what is important is, you know, loving people, meeting them where they are, trying to so, you know, give them truth where you can, where they can receive it. Christmas time is not always a right time or the best time to share, you know, things about Christmas that they're not going to receive, because that is a spirit. They get very offended and very hurt and all kinds of things. So I don't know what the real answer is, except to pray about it and that God will show them the truth, you know, that the veil be removed, the lies be just exposed. And, you know, I can't make somebody understand or believe something. It has to be a revelation that God gives. Anyhow, that's kind of how I see it. I don't know if I helped anybody.
Amen. Here's something that ought to help you. From just 3 meters or 10 feet above the surface, you can see the horizon 3.85 miles apart. If you're 100 feet high, you'll be able to see up to 12.5 miles away. And this is one of the reasons ancient civilizations understood that the earth was curved, not flat, at least from the 6th century BC. That's a long time ago. So the real question is, at what altitude can you start seeing the curvature of your horizon? Well, you have to be a lot higher than that flat earther, Mike Hughes, who died while trying to reach an altitude of 5,000 feet while riding his steam-powered rocket to prove the earth is flat. I'm laughing. I hadn't heard of this. Go ahead, Missy.
Okay. I've had my hand up for a while, but anyway.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about flat earth thing. I'm back on the on the Christmas thing. And there's this thought that came to me, you know, what are we praying for to happen before the end of the year? Okay. But we know before that, the man child needs to be anointed, right? And I was thinking, you know, concerning Christmas, you know, we know that when David's taught us that with all the dreams and revelations and in the word, you know, at the presence of the Lord, the earth shakes and trembles, whatever. And, you know, we believe that there's going to be earthquakes go around the world. What better day for that to happen on the 25th December? Just saying. It would just blow that whole, you know, it would just, oh, gosh, why would God allow that to happen on Christmas Day? Just saying. it would just totally devastate so many people and really start causing them to question, I think, you know. But I think that would be the ideal day. Just throwing it out there. Just the thought that came to me.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got all that settled out. Praise God. Go ahead, Lana. I saw your hand up.
I just had a quick thought. I was raised celebrating Christmas on the very conservative side. No Christmas trees. Gifts were questionable. But you had to go to church. You had to dress up. You had to participate. And if it was possible to go to church 3 days in a row, we were going to church 3 days in a row. But my thought is, if we were to discuss this with our families as to why we should or should not celebrate Christmas, I think the Lord is very clear when he wants us to do something, and he gives lots of instructions. And sometimes he repeats those instructions many, 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 many times. And we have absolutely no instructions on celebrating Christmas and many other holidays. So you could go to the opposite end of the spectrum, right? And talk about it that way. Like, the Lord wants us to do this in our life and this in our life, crucifixion, loving others, kindness, fruit of the Spirit. Where's the instructions and the repeat of instructions to celebrate this or that and so on? So that's kind of what I was thinking.
Amen. So what you're saying is the Bible is our standard that we live by?
All day, every day.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, it is. And it's like I said earlier, don't read it like a book. Read it like it's Jesus talking to you. And God the Father talking to you. Because that's what it is. Praise God. Uh-oh, it looks like we're about out of time here. Well, we'll get back to Word, Women, and Authority, I guess, next Tuesday. Right before Christmas. Boy, that always help out a lot of people. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord, that all the prayers we prayed tonight have been answered. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are on the move. And Father, we ask and we pray that you place it in our hearts to keep on praying, keep these angels busy on the things that you want us to pray about and to believe for. And I thank you for it, Father. I believe that everybody here that needs provision, protection, out of different circumstances, are enduring in their faith, and they'll see the victory. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name that's above all names, Jesus Christ. There will not be a Friday night special meet. There will not be a Friday night streaming meet because of pot blessing. We have pot blessing. Saturday. It's going to be a lovely day also. Go ahead. I didn't see your hand up. Go ahead, Rian.
Yeah, Michael, just before you stop the recording, I just wanted to make sure because sometimes I can come across very direct. I have no judgment towards those people specifically or anybody else. We have only love. I don't want to argue these things at all. I agree with Isaac. You know, for me, it's irrelevant. I love studying the word. I don't claim to be a prophet. I don't claim to have any knowledge above anybody else. So there's really only love and judgment. All I'm praying against is for all of us to come to the knowledge of the truth, and that I know we all know in part only now, and we will know in full as we come more and more into Christ. That is my prayer. It's my purpose in life for all of us, is to become more and more like Christ, and which means be loving, be kind, be gentle, be weak to the weak, be patient, There's if we can agree on that, then we can fellowship together. There's no our house is the house of love. Anybody's welcome. We'll share the truth.
What's for supper?
Yeah. Oh, you don't want you might just kick us out of the outreach, Michael, if we tell you that we're doing the 10-day Daniel fast at the moment. So we have no meat, no dairy, nothing. So
just doing veggies and fruits.
Will you still be friends with us, even if we don't eat meat and dairy for a
while? We're praying hard for you.
So it's salad. It's salad for dinner.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for blessing us during this fast. We praise you for the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night, y'all. God bless you.